WrestleMania 2 is history, and this man is still the Intercontinental Champion. He's from Sarasota, Florida. What's with the broom? Wait a minute.
Sweet
what is the
professional wrestling completely clean. Oh, yeah. Doing the thing, yeah. Like nobody ever does before. Yeah. Tito Santana, it's been a while since I saw you in the Boston Garden. And I think that you believe that even though you're headhunting, that you can't beat the Macho Man Randy Savage. And you know Hulk Hogan? Yeah, if he wants to keep an eye on me, don't look behind you, Hulk Hogan. No, don't look in front. Don't look to the sides. Look straight up, because I'm right on top of you. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Elizabeth. My dear, how are you?
You look fine, gorgeous
as usual.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're more than welcome. How are things going for you?
Oh, great. Everything's super.
Well, when you get into New York City, you have an opportunity to do a little shopping.
Oh, yes. Browsing. I really enjoy that.
Unbelievable. Excuse me. Just let me interrupt this for a second. I'm just standing here. I'm holding a gold belt, the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship belt. I'm only the champion. You guys got a conversation going.
We're talking back and forth.
It's like the most important man in the world standing here, and you got a conversation going with each other. Now explain to me why. Put that thing down. Don't degrade the champion at any time. A man in my position could never afford to look ridiculous. Do you understand that? Tell Tito Santana that, and tell Hulk Hogan that. And Elizabeth, I think I need to tell you something right now. You don't understand
who you're with right now.
Do you know who you're with?
Thank you very much.
You're with me! The Macho Man, Randy Savage. Goodbye!
Thank you.
Welcome back in, friends and family. That's right, your family now, to a very special boozy edition of Baby Oil and Blow.
Specialist.
Baby Oil and Booze tonight, pal, huh?
He said it.
Going hard in the paint.
It's not even true. I haven't even had any booze. I'm on all beer at this point.
Me neither. I'm high on life because I am big time Matt Owen. With me, as always, he is the cowboy cult to my Bobo Johnson.
Who?
I'm talking Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy.
Yeah.
High on rubber cement, it's more like it.
Oh, man. Just sniffing some shit.
I was sniffing some rubber cement. Like, that's not a lie. I was doing that in an elementary school before I came here.
I got a paper bag full of spray paint if you want a couple pulls.
Do I?
Yep.
Ooh, that hit the table.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice table.
Yeah, no.
What is that, oak?
Put it together with my own hands. It can't be too nice.
I believe it's pine.
It could be. Smells like a cherry to me.
Yeah. Outside of tables, what are we talking about today?
Today on Baby Oil and Blow, we're going to be talking about the 1980s era of the art of professional wrestling.
This is kind of new to us.
Wrestling is, for those out there who don't realize it, it's a form of wrestling where the two people who are doing the wrestling get paid, which makes them pros and not amateurs. You look at the Olympics, it's just like, it's like nobody's getting paid here. What's the point?
Who's watching that?
Yeah, like, what's the purse at the end of this event? Like, who's taking home all the money?
No one. So, Nike.
Yeah,
that's
you
who.
Might as well just be watching college football for all the...
Don't get me started,
For the
don't
waste
get
of time.
Me started.
You're really just wasting your life watching these non-pro athletes.
Yeah, professional.
Pro wrestling, there's a lot on the line. Not just money, but pride, man.
Integrity.
You got to have some integrity.
Dignity.
If you want to make it in the world. Primetime Wrestling, episode 64... 05/19/1986. That's what we're watching. If you haven't watched it, fire it up on that WWE network.
Or as we call it, the network.
Oh, we started calling it that now?
I don't know. Just
it's pretty cool. It sounds casual.
Yeah.
Like, no big whoop. Like, put on the network. I don't watch it. Just put on the network.
What'd you do? I watched a couple Road Wilds on the network over the weekend.
No.
Said no one ever.
Yeah, somebody ever said that to me. Friendship over.
Call us, email us, tweet us, whatever you want. It's at anything, whatever.
All lines are open.
At Baby Blow, but Baby Blow? Baby Blow. I don't know what that is. You know what I'm trying to get
piano
at.
Piano under it. It's going to turn into a
Baby Blow
hit new song, I feel like.
Baby Blow. Let us know if you've ever watched a couple of Road Wilds.
Yeah. Hey, you want to get together and watch a couple of Road Wilds?
Because I
know. The answer to that's never been yes. That's never how a friendship is formed.
I know it's not you and I, but I know there's somebody out there they've powered through a couple of Road Wilds.
Pretty sure Road Wild was the one infamous pay-per-view where Heenan just showed up drunk on commentary and was just like,
sounds right.
I'm not getting through this sober.
Sturgis, baby.
So yeah, that's, I just got out of a very boozy dinner, so you know, we're in the spirit tonight of Bobby the Brain Heenan, I feel like, who is our co-host tonight for Primetime Wrestling, as per usual, because, you know, we did this thing right where we started off watching Primetime Wrestling right when he became the co-host.
Yep.
Because we love him. We love him and Gorilla. We love them together.
They do great stuff.
Their relationship, it's kind of just like an inspiration, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If those two, you know, so-and-sos who come from different sides of the tracks can get together and just learn to love, then can't we all just get together and learn to love? Like, I don't know, can't Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump just, like, throw aside their differences and, like, just agree and, like, have some beers and sit around?
They do. They do. You just don't see it on TV.
You think they do? Yeah, they're all on the same side, man. You know that, right?
It's all work. You know,
it's just like,
it's all work.
It doesn't even matter who you vote for. Like, all these, there's all just rich people who are on the same side behind the scenes.
Montreal Screwjob was at work.
Sure.
And so is politics.
You know they're having beers together in the locker room after election night.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
After Bernie spit in his eye and then punched him in the eye.
You know that when Hillary lost that election, those were blood capsules that she bit down on when she...
That's not real blood. Those are blood capsules.
Yeah, it wasn't real at all.
How come no
one gave her concession speech? Like, you know all that blood that was coming out of her mouth was not real.
How come nobody uses that argument anymore? I feel like that one's fallen to the wayside.
I think it's because nobody cares enough about wrestling anymore to argue whether it's real or fake.
You know, those are blood capsules. So what happened this week?
Okay, quick results of Primetime Wrestling. We're back in the studio with the Brain and the Gorilla. And they throw us off to this opening match. We got the Golden Boy, Danny Spivey. That's in quotes, the Golden Boy. That's his nickname. That's not his given name.
My guy, Waylon Mercy.
Versus adorable Adrian Adonis.
My main guy.
His first name is legitimately adorable. That's what his parents named him. That ends when Adrian wins by reversing a body slam into a roll-up. And a nice little bit of technical wrestling from that big pasty whale. Then we're moving on. We got our second match, Tiger Chung Lee. I don't know if that's a given name or not. That sounds too racist to be a given name, quite frankly.
Wow.
Versus Don Koloff.
Trained...
was he a Bulgarian?
Yeah, he trained Rusev.
So it makes sense. The crowd chants USA at Tiger Chung Lee, even though Don Koloff's from Bulgaria, so... Yeah, that's racist, you 80s idiots.
Well,
like,
and they were...
Sure, the white guy's on our side? I don't think so.
But they were also in Canada.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were in Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What was going on?
Jeez. That's a mind blower right there. 80s, you were messed up. Chung Lee wins with a jumping tombstone pile driver, which is a pretty extreme finish for this boring 80s match.
Yeah,
they had.
It was pretty ECW.
He really went for it.
He had a couple ideas.
Speaking of jumping Jim Brunzel, one half of the Killer Bees, is in our next match. He's taking on one half of the Hart Foundation, Brett the Hitman Hart, Canada's own. He's, Canada doesn't really like Toronto much, from what I understand, so maybe he's not getting a hero's welcome there. There's a little bit of resentment there. Either way, he gets DQ'd. Because he crotches Jim Brunzel right on that top rope, blatantly right in front of the ref. Just picks him up and lays his nuts down on the top rope.
Hey, I'm done wrestling, eh?
Yeah, what was he thinking, this guy?
Take off, eh?
He's not supposed to be the hothead of the group. That's supposed to be Jim Neidhart, who's in our next match.
Yeah, he's a real sick guy.
He's wrestling the other half of the Killer Bees. Brian Blair. They never quite filled us in with that. First B stands for. Do you got any theories on that? Bocephus? Is that maybe?
Yeah, probably. Bocephus, Brian Blair. Yeah.
So yeah, don't call me Brian. My name is Bocephus Blair. He catches Jim with a roll-up, you know, right out of that corner. Anvil charges in. He moves, he turns into a roll-up, and then he wins. But his victory is short-lived, Matt. This is right after the three count goes down. Brett the Hitman Hart, the Anvil's partner, comes in, and they just start laying the boots to the motherfucker.
They're a couple sore losers,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they really are. There's supposed to be more politeness up there in their culture.
Said,
take off, eh?
These guys are just really got a second banana syndrome going on, I think, right here. Just like a, you know, like these Americans coming in and showing us up. So they cheat, lousy cheaters. Jim Brunzel runs in and makes the save, and we've got the rumblings of some tag team grudge building right here on this very show we're watching.
Yes, sir.
Coming up next, you know, you don't want to just, like, go out on a high note like that with a big tag team feud developing. You got to throw it back to a 10-year-old midget tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
So we get clips out of not just any midget tag team match, but a 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, I was very upset to hear that the match wasn't over.
Because they didn't fill us in that it was 2 out of 3 falls until after that first bell rang, right? And then just kept going. I was like, oh, that was quick, fine. Like, won't have to watch much of this.
Yeah, no, I was like, okay, wait, they're moving along again? Now.
Hey,
we got bamboozled.
Probably should have got those announcements before they showed this that it was 2 out of 3 falls.
Billy the Kid and Little John.
Those are the guys.
Yeah, versus Bobo Johnson and Cowboy Colt.
There's that deep cut little reference you're making up in that intro.
Hey, what do you call a small lavatory?
You got me, Matt.
A Little John.
Ooh, Bobby Heenan zinger right there. He hates the little people.
Yeah.
So that first fall, Colt gets the pin after Bobo blasts Kid with a drop kick, and then he just rolls him up. And we just 2 falls. We didn't go all the way to the 3rd fall, which is strange, but kind of welcome. Bobo gets the 2nd fall after on Little John. It's a pretty cool move. He's getting monkey flipped, and in midair, he turns that monkey flip into a sunset flip on the other guy.
It was pretty cool.
There's some athleticism going
on
there.
And he had some keister bombs.
He did have some keister bombs that got called throughout the match. I guess in modern definitions, that would be Colt Cabana's the only one doing that I know of. He's calling that the flying asshole. Chicago's own.
The Bears.
Hang your hat on that.
Stealing moves from midget matches. I'm not sure how he's trying to get to the main event doing that. But anyways, moving on. Scotty McGee, who is legitimately from Scotland, I think, right?
And
he's a Scottish guy named Scotty McGee. That's definitely not his real first name.
Scotty McGee.
It's just what Vince called him once he learned he was from Scotland.
Scotty McGee.
Against the equally lazily named Johnny Canine. He was like, I don't know, he came from
Romania.
It's like, what do you do? And he's like, I got some dogs. I like my dogs. You're Johnny Canine.
Now wear this purple bandana.
McGee wins with a bridging German suplex.
Goddamn, pal.
3 count against Johnny Canine, who didn't look great.
Mm-mm.
Big main event. Big main event. We made it to the main event. We got a bunch of hearty, just name guys, and they're wailing away on each other. Jimmy Jack Funk and Hoss Funk. Terry Funk sitting out this week.
Yeah.
Funk brothers teaming up against leaping Lanny Poffo and his brother, not in genetics, but in spirits, George Wells.
Former NFL superstar George Wells.
Which, you know, they made sure to let us know a few times. And I was like, oh, that explains why he's such a clumsy idiot. And he's not a real wrestler. He's just an NFL guy. Jimmy Jack gets that pin on Wells after a power slam. Wells goes in for one of his big dumb football tackles in the corner. He misses it. Boom. Power slam. He goes away. You can't be trying to tackle people like you're out on the football field. You're in the squared circle, asshole.
Goes away.
Yeah. Hopefully he goes away soon. I want to see one of these crossover athletes.
See another one of these.
I like people who have some respect for the business. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah.
Just like boys in the back busting their asses trying to get on these cards. I don't need any of these crossover athletes coming in to take our spots.
There's only 3 crossover 2-sport athletes I respect.
Dennis Rodman and else?
Dennis Rodman. Uh-huh. Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Let's move on.
Yeah, what do you want to do now?
Let's move on to getting into that 5 count. Our 5 big talking points about this episode of Primetime Wrestling. There had to have been something in here worth talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Good God, if you look close enough, you have to find something worth talking about. It's impossible that there's nothing in here worth talking about.
Came close.
Came real close, but luckily, that's not going to happen.
No.
You've got a loyal army of white guys all over the world coming up with reasons to talk about things into microphones, whether you want them to or not. We're laying it down on wax.
Did you say white guys or why guys?
What's a why guy?
Like guys asking questions.
Why?
Try Bud Dry?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about white guys. I'm talking about podcasters. I'm talking about our brethren.
Yeah.
We're out there watching stupid shit nobody cares about, and then we're talking about it, which people care about even less than the stupid shit. Let's get into it. What's your number one?
Okay, my number one, just because we call it the five count, and I had to have five.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked through the entire show, and I was like, well, it can't be a four count.
No.
So I'm just going to give it right
four
off the...
Four count means nothing in wrestling. Nothing. That wouldn't be a good theme for us.
You don't have to
break the hold on a four count. You wouldn't have to break the hold after the five count. Yeah.
So right off the bat, I'm just going to give my first one to our main man, Bobby the Brain Heenan. Just good to have him back.
Mm.
After 2 weeks of Shivani and Crockett.
David
and
Crockett. And
NWA, WCW. It's just good to hear Heenan talking to me.
Yahoos.
Just good to have him in my ear, just... making his jokes, keeping that straight face. He good dude.
I agree. I can get in on this too. One of mine's going to be just talking about the commentary, so I might as well just get on this with you right now.
Yeah,
this is the first week of Primetime Wrestling where not only do we have Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon in there in the studio, you know, cutting away to these matches and doing the bumpers and whatnot, but they're also doing the commentary together
for all the matches. Lord.
Used to be they'd throw it back, and then whoever was around fucking 3 months ago in the studio recording shit would be. But now we've got Gorilla and we've got Brain talking together, and they are
sitting ringside.
Absolutely my favorite commentary team of all time. Their back and forth makes even the most boring match worth watching.
And there was plenty of those.
There certainly was, but it just gives you more of an opportunity to pay attention to these two bickering, coming up with some great back and forth, some great chemistry. These guys had a lot of lines that I liked.
They'll use the same material like week in, week out, but it doesn't matter. I'm still like, oh, I said it again.
Great shit. I loved Bobby in those first couple tag matches, and he got the Hart Foundation in singles matches. He's explaining away like... what a manager does, like he's trying to get the best matches for his guys on the card, and they're kind of talking about like, ooh, why does he have them split up into singles matches? There's got to be a reason. Like, there's a lot of logic going into this that they're at least trying to paste onto the stupid wrestling card afterwards. I'm not saying there's a plan here, but they're trying to explain it to us and make sense to us. And that's nothing they do these days. They just make matches willy-nilly and don't. There's no reason for it.
Monday Night Raw splits tag teams and puts them in singles matches every week with zero explanation.
Yeah, it's meaningless. If you're a tag team, why would you be taking these singles matches? This does nothing to climb you up the singles ranks. Just like a ton of little lines here. I don't know. I kind of marked a few. I loved Heenan just that one, like... the one match where we didn't get their commentary is the 10-year-old one where we went to the midgets and it was Vince McMahon doing play-by-play.
And they cut back to Heenan.
Dumb. He's just like, who was that on commentary? Like, that was really bad.
I believe his words were, sounds like he just drank a glass of kitty litter.
Yeah, that was some of the worst commentary I've ever heard. Why'd they keep that?
So true.
He's going off on his little midget rant about how much he hates it. At one point, he's like, there should be a leash law or something.
Yeah, that was in reference to the Haitian kid who he just doesn't like because he's Junkyard Dog's mascot.
At one point during that, I think it was the Jumpin' Jim Brunzel match, Gorilla's just like talking about what a great athlete he is and all this leaping shit he's doing and like how impressive it is. And Brain's just like, you got to keep your feet on the mat. This is wrestling. Like, you stick to the mat. You can't be flying around the air like some little punk.
Yeah,
God damn, I agree with that, Brain. Like,
that was Brunzel.
A lot of sense.
Was it Brunzel? No, it was B. Brian Blair.
People are jumping around, and he's like, yeah, this is not how you wrestle. Punk. Gorilla, when he's introducing that big main event, he's just like, you got the Funk Brothers, Hoss and Jimmy. They're going to be doing it with Leaping Lanny and George Wells. He put that emphasis on doing it.
They're going to be... doing it.
I was like, oh, Gorilla. I know there's a lot of rumors flying around about Lanny Poffo, but
you're
really putting some sauce on this commentary, man. Loving that.
Yeah, they had some really good back and forth. You had Gorilla doing his medical jargon.
I love it. The occipital protuberances. They were all over this goddamn show.
He was talking something about Jim Neidhart punching Brunzel in the mouth or whatever.
That big rhino, Jim Hart. Punching him in
the mouth. But yeah, he was doing his usual fancy talking. Heenan just wasn't having it. He was not having
it. Well, that's because he's a real intellectual. He's not going to listen to this pseudo intellectual fucking pro wrestling gorilla trying to pop off and sound educated. Come on. He doesn't have to put up with that.
I believe his exact words were, "Keep it simple for the humanoids." He whacked them upside the head.
Yeah, you got to. These people watching TV, they don't have any educations.
They're in Canada on top of it.
Oh, Lord. I don't even think they have any universities in
Toronto.
That's not true. Shout out to Ryerson. I like your campus.
Isn't there like a University of Toronto?
That can't be true.
I'm pretty sure.
No,
Petersboro.
There's no way.
Petersboro.
There's no way.
Petersboro. It's a college town. Either way. My number two.
Okay.
Let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
It's going to be my main man, adorable Adrian Adonis, with
Pretty Boy,
Mouth of the South,
he's a
Jimmy
real pretty
Hart,
boy.
Versus the man who would one day become Waylon Mercy.
Okay. I didn't catch that. The Golden Boy.
Yeah, Dan Spivey.
Pretty night and day gimmick change from Waylon Mercy, so I guess he just...
Well, he was Golden Boy Dan Spivey, and then he was like Starship Renegade or something.
Renegade.
Something weird in WCW or TNA or something.
BMX bike, I think, from now on.
And then he resurfaced in the WWF as Waylon Mercy.
He was the Golden Boy. Yeah. He had those long golden locks. He was wearing the all yellow gear.
He looked like the knockoff imitation Hulk Hogan toy.
Well, I was going to say, like, he looked like, you know, when you can get those, like an artist does like a real life rendering of like what the Simpsons would look like if they were real humans and not cartoons.
Yeah.
I feel like if somebody did a real life rendering of what Hulk Hogan would look like if he was a human being and not
a cartoon,
he would have looked like Golden Boy Danny Spivey here.
Yeah.
That jumped right out to me.
Danny Spivey. The first thing I want to point out in this match
was Jimmy Hart brushing Adrian Adonis's hair before the match, probably, I would
assume. That's a beautiful thing. But the first thing that stood out to me was the 20-some-year-old Canadian woman in the front row with the dark hair and the lovely low-cutting white tank top and the white coat that she was wearing over it. But it wasn't just for what she was wearing, you see.
Sure.
It was from her loud and continuous faggot chant.
Oh, no.
That she had going.
I didn't catch that at all.
For the majority of the match. How could you not? I heard it first, and I was like, well, we either have a very young child or an older woman trying to start a faggot chant.
Nobody was picking up on it, though?
I think they were just trying to move on, but she was loud, and it kept going. And then finally, they just panned a little right of the screen, and boom, there she was, and I was able to watch that young Canadian woman.
Yeah. You said she was in a low-cut top, right?
Yeah.
How'd it look? Like, what was she packing?
Not much.
Oh, no, fuck her then, yeah.
We're
I'm
talking
not getting
high,
on board with that chant.
No.
That's offensive.
Yeah, we're talking
disgusting.
High six, low seven.
What is she thinking going out in public and trying to pull that sort of shit? She should be ashamed of herself.
High six, low seven. That's about a mid-8. Canadian standards.
Especially when it's already been explained to us that you can't hate somebody just because they're different from you and they want to dress a little weird. Like Bobby Heenan already let us know.
Yeah.
Adrian Adonis is a good dude. So he's got a little rouge on his cheeks and he wears weird old lady scarves. Like, big deal.
It's just what he does. But that single woman in Canada wasn't having it. And it was brutally offensive. But, you know, either way, Spivey looked awful. Adonis rolled him up. End of the match.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Okay.
I'm going to roll into my number two, kind of talking about that match a little bit. This is a little bit of that match, a little bit of another match. My number two is just kind of the right way and the wrong way to grab a headlock.
Oh, do tell.
So, you know, I don't like to use the word rest hold because this is one of those buzzwords that the dorks on the internet picked up on and they started talking about it like they know what they're talking about. So anytime anybody grabs a hold in a match, it's like, oh, he's doing rest holds. That match is all rest holds.
No, you're working.
Just meaning like, oh, I'd like the entire match to be guys running and flipping over the ropes and like nothing else. No. Like, grabbing holds is essential to wrestling, but if you're going to talk about a rest hold, that is absolutely what Dan Spivey was doing in this match.
Yes.
He's grabbing a hold, just a side headlock on Adrian Adonis, and then he's just laying
just
there
like
a
break.
Dead fish. Like, when you're in that hold, you got to work it. You got to wrench it in. The other guy's got to be trying to get out of it, and you got to be struggling. Like, you can tell a story that way. You can keep people engaged that way. You're trying to hurt him. You're trying to just grind it, get him to give up, and he's trying to get out, and you're
breaking another man's
all this shit.
Will.
And you can, get a breather there, but, like, you're still pantomiming to the audience that you're doing stuff and you're keeping them engaged in the match. And god damn it, Dan Spivey just had that dead look on his face, and he's laying there motionless, just doing nothing in a headlock.
Absolutely.
And why should anybody
nothing.
Care? Why would anybody care about that?
No,
Dan
you're giving
Spivey?
Him no reason to.
You fucking idiot. So then, and then we got the next match coming on, or maybe one down the line. I don't know the exact order, you know. I'm not some sort of Rain Man here. I've got all this
shit.
Yeah,
if only we had written
away.
It down.
Bret Hart, he grabs a headlock. He's in there against Jimmy Brunzel.
That'd be the third match.
And this guy's working it, man. He's grinding it. He's holding on to it. Brunzel keeps getting out of it. And there's one amazing point where Bret's got him in that side headlock, and Brunzel lifts him all the way up into the air, drops him into an atomic drop to try and get out of it. And Bret's like, no. He fights through the pain.
Yeah.
Momentary, he sort of lessens up on it because he's like, oh god, I just got atomic drop. He's
my
nope.
Asshole. My
and
asshole.
Fight through
hurts.
It, and
yeah.
He just wrenches right down in that headlock again. He got atomic dropped in a headlock, and he still held on to it.
It's perseverance.
There was no point in that goddamn headlock where he was just like laying on top of somebody, not moving, acting like he didn't care about what he was doing. There was no point where his opponent was just like, oh, I'm just in a headlock. I'm going to lay here because it doesn't hurt. So why don't we all just take a nap?
Yeah.
These guys were actually out there wrestling and, you know, making it seem like they were actually doing something rather than these other guys who just had apparently memorized what moves they wanted to do and then did them in a row and didn't believe that they were actually out there in a fight, weren't feeling it, weren't making this shit be something you could sink your teeth into. As a hillbilly wrestling fan who wants to see a couple of guys fight, not for real, but seems like for real, which I like.
For real. From what I can remember of the handful of Waylon Mercy matches
that
existed,
headlock. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's mostly just wrestled. So
I'm not sure that I was actually watching wrestling when Waylon Mercy was a thing.
Well, he came
was that like 93.
Who fucking knows? But he comes up with the greatest character ever. WWF poops all over him, and then everybody wants to praise Bray Wyatt years later when he rips every bit of Waylon Mercy off. From the gimmick to the look, all of it.
I thought he was just ripping off that Bayou movie that Jean-Claude Van Damme was in. He had the oatmeal guy as his grandpa, didn't he?
as we say in the Bayou.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie. That's a Hard Target.
Ripping off the oatmeal guy in Hard Target. Yeah. I was mistaken about that.
How does it feel to be handbagged?
What's that?
Let's get out of here. Let's stop this and just go watch Hard Target.
I'm for that any second of any day.
Pause it now. We'll come back a little bit later.
I got a nice copy of it on Blu-ray that I still
haven't
seen.
That's on Blu-ray?
Yeah, and I got it, and I still haven't been able to watch it.
Oh, wow, you got a busy life.
Yeah.
Everything on Blu-ray would be on constant rotation in my goddamn living room.
Should be. What were we talking about? Oh, wrestling, yeah.
Hunting season is over.
Yep, wrestling. So
what's
that's
your next one? You got a three?
I do got a tree. And it is for...
I'm changing numbers now. I got to bounce back. I think I'm going to go for my two next, which is now officially going to be my three. We'll see how it goes.
Well, my three, you kind of touched on it a little bit, and it's that Jimmy Brunzel versus Bret Hart match.
Mm-hmm.
With...
Bret Hart's in it. It's going to be a solid match.
Now this
just ask him. He'll tell you.
This is with, as the ring announcer put it, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Did you catch any of that?
Well, I caught that they were in Toronto, yeah. So
well, that's how he said
that's
it.
How they were talking.
And I'm trying to think.
Was it one, two matches maybe on this whole card that Jimmy Hart wasn't
out
there?
Was he out there for the Tiger Chung Lee match or no?
That might have been one he wasn't. But either way, he got announced five or six times.
Yeah.
And every single goddamn time he got announced, they booed him all over again. This crowd saw him. They never got sick of seeing him. They were always just like, I hate you, Jimmy Hart.
Well,
I hate you.
Funny you should mention that because
after the Tiger Chung Lee,
Tiger
whatever.
Chung Lee, yeah. You talk about it like so. I can't wrap my head around. Like, well,
I thought like that wasn't his name.
In touch with
I thought it wasn't his name, and I was just being racist for a second. But no, that was his
name.
That's
really what they were calling him.
Anyways, after a small break in that second match.
Tiger Chung Lee. I just made that up in my head. It's got to be something else.
Yeah.
There's no way they'd just call him Tiger Chung Lee.
Our favorite lady in white gets right back to where she left off.
Lady in white.
And just starts raining in more of those faggot chants.
The homophobe girl.
So I guess.
Who is she doing it at this
time? I guess she feels that Jimmy Hart is.
Hmm.
A little light in the loafers.
Or wait, which match is this?
It started in the adorable Adrian Adonis. And now we've skipped a match and gone to Jim Brunzel versus Bret Hart.
I was going to say, if it was the B. Brian Blair match, maybe she knew something, because Iron Sheik's always accusing that guy of being a little light in the loafers. So that could have just been like one of Sheiky Baby's rats or something.
Yeah, one of his
maybe.
Rats.
So she's just like pushing that Iron Sheik agenda. Like,
oh man, we didn't get any Sheik this week.
Yeah, that's
what a disappointment.
True.
We got
the first time for this show.
Nikolai Koloff, or Volkov. I can't keep those Russians straight.
Yeah, it's all the same syllables and different. It's like Taco Bell's food. They just keep the same four ingredients mixed up in different ways. This is Russian names, it's those four same syllables that all just keep getting mixed up in different ways.
Quick shout out.
You gave us a little promo.
Chicken chips are back.
What's a chicken chip?
It's Taco Bell's version of a chicken tender. It's triangular. Mm-hmm. It's just a deep-fried chicken nugget thing.
Oh, I saw they got crispy chicken quesadillas. Is that
no,
the
no,
same
no,
thing?
Never mind that. It's a chicken chip, and it comes...
I think this thing has chicken chips in a quesadilla.
Well, this comes with a cup of nacho cheese.
So you just wrap that whole thing up into a tortilla and make it a quesadilla.
That's too much. No, you're talking crazy time.
You want to pause this again and go to Taco Bell? Time. I'm getting hungry.
We got to eat something when we're watching Hard Target.
That makes a lot of... Well, we just watched Hard Target. We're going to watch it again?
I don't see why not. Back to whatever it is that we do. So
you
Bret
were
Hart,
talking about how you like that Bret Hart match.
Yeah, because I don't like Bret Hart.
You like Bret Hart?
No, I don't.
You just
no, I don't
think you don't.
I don't.
Because you picture like good guy Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Later in his career, this early tag team Bret Hart is heel
he's
tag
great.
Team shit is great shit.
Yeah, he's great
because he's smarmy
when he's
and
just
greasy,
doing his own
just
thing
naturally.
Yeah.
So when he's being natural, it works.
And he looks great. Heenan was hating the officiating. Like you said, Hart got DQ'd because he was just like, hey, I'm done wrestling here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So he just dropped the guy on his penis. This
guy's not worth my time. If you ask me,
I'm
a much better worker than this guy. My skills. I've got a higher skill set than this guy. There's no reason I should be out here in the ring with him.
I'm just going to drop the man on his penis, eh?
It's embarrassing to me, Vince. I don't know why I'm wasting my time out here. Should be in the main event.
He was angling way back then.
For sure. This guy. God gift to rolling around and fake fighting if he has this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just read his book or even better,
have
Cleveland, Ohio's own Mark Ligas read excerpts of his book to you on long road trips like we did one time.
Oh, man, that Bound for Glory traffic was...
Didn't know that Mark Ligas
biblical.
Had any talents. I thought maybe that kid was just kind of a wasteoid, and then it was like, oh,
no.
He was born to read excerpts from Bret Hart's biography and Bret Hart's voice when you're bored on long road trips. And I was like, oh, finally he's found his calling. I'm glad this has worked out for him.
You know...
I lost all respect for him that day.
End every
and
chapter.
Every single chapter. And then I lost all respect for him that day.
The Bret Hart story.
Oh, poor Bret Hart.
So, yeah.
No one in the world is as good as him.
Take off, eh?
Let's just keep playing this fast and loose. What you got, number three?
My next one's just along the lines of those two matches that Jim the Anvil Neidhart versus
I was gonna combine them two, and then
and
I
just
ran out of
how
numbers.
That added structure to the show where they just built that that feud between them where there was no feud before. You start the show and then there is no feud, and then you get Bret doing that blatant DQ, and it's like, oh, what the fuck?
What's this guy doing?
And this guy's a real jerk. And then you got the other two guys going at it, and Jim Neidhart gets caught with a roll up, and he's like, oh, what the fuck?
Shouldn't
I had
been.
Him. So
you shouldn't have been.
Now you really want to see a tag team match between these two guys, because the Harts, they took liberties with the Bees, so the Bees want revenge, and the Bees took two wins, so now the Harts want to prove, like, hey, they're not better than us, they just caught us on an off night, and we were screwing around. Both these guys, they go from...
We're just having a good time out there, eh?
Yeah, not having much of a reason to wrestle to now just being like, oh, now we got to go at each other because we got a reason to wrestle. We're taking it to the streets after this.
Taking it to the streets.
So when's that match coming up? I want to see that tag team match. You got me hooked. You got me hooked, pro wrestling. That's the sort of thing that pro wrestling should be doing, building stories, making you want to see specific matches.
Speaking of...
I was just throwing matches out there. No!
Speaking of continuity... A little continuity.
Give me a little continuity.
Heenan burying the Killer Bees. Both matches. Not letting up. Just talking about awful they are.
He was being gorilla talking about King Kong Bundy-esque when he was burying those Killer Bees.
He just wouldn't let it go. And even Gorilla was like, oh, you know, they might have a match coming up here. There's some bad blood here. And Heenan was like, why? Why would the Hearts want to waste their time with a bunch of nobodies like the Killer Bees?
They really should probably have their sights set on the British Bulldogs, the new tag team champions of this
one. Yeah, that's what Heenan was.
I'd like to see that big feud between those Bulldogs and those Hearts. That's a whole mess of good pro wrestlers.
Hey, we had a celebrity sighting in this match, too.
Did we?
Jim Neidhart match, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well, all throughout the episode, Canadians kept just running like as hard as they could.
To get to...
Just across the front of the screen.
The other side of the arena?
Yeah.
Where Neil Young was
just to be
standing around?
I don't know. I think they just wanted to be on Canada, or on Canada, on camera.
Yeah, they were definitely on Canada.
Yeah, they were on Canada, but they just kept running a lot, or people were just...
Oh, cast of the kids in the halls over there at the concession stand.
A lot of concession stand trips I saw, but this match specifically, at some point right along the front there, you can see the youngest Klopak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Pinocchio?
Yep. So where are you at? How many numbers do you have? Is that four? Only got four. Is that five?
I'm going to go number four.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm supposed to, but that's where I am.
Do it.
I like that they brought back Scotty McGee.
Ooh, give him a second chance.
Because Scotty McGee, he was in that job match against Jake the Snake Roberts the last time we were watching this.
We loved him in it.
Shiznit.
We loved him in it.
You know what they call shit in the rap game.
Yeah.
So yeah, this guy was working hard. He was looking good. He was hitting the ropes fast. He was working fast. He was getting those collar and elbow tie-ups in there tight. And him and Jake Roberts
He's got some power.
Good little match together, and I was just like, oh man, this guy could actually be something if you give him a little chance, and they bring him back and they let him win this week.
Vinnie Mac saw it too.
He saw it too, so he's doing it again. He's working the arm in this match, and like I said before, you don't just lay in an arm hold, you work that arm hold.
You've
he's transitioning from arm hold to arm hold, breaking this chump's arm down. This, what was it, Johnny Canine?
They called him Johnny Canine.
Breaking his little dog leg down. He's fighting off reversals. He's working that arm, just taking out his arm like a solid strategy based. I'm trying to make this seem real pro wrestler would. He's laying in forearms stiff, real stiff forearms. He's taking those Irish whips and just moving his tiny little legs really fast and hitting those ropes real hard. And
ooh,
just taking
me,
it to the mat real hard.
Hard
bumps. This guy's a hard worker. It's just he's probably just like, you know, like a normally sized guy, but in this land of the giants in 1980s WWF, he looks like fucking, you know, Little John.
He's got some
looks
size.
Like Cowboy Carl or whoever that other fucking guy was.
Cowboy Carl was Larry Fishburne. Come on.
I got confused with Camouflage Carl.
Come on.
Either way, you look like you should have been in that midget match. He's just like a normal-sized guy trying to fight, and everybody's got to be 6'5", WWF.
Hell yeah.
Somewhere else, and this guy'd be a player. Real player. So I like that he at least got one chance to come in here and work a match and get a win and look like a somebody.
He earned it.
Scotland's own. Pride of the island. Is there an island? Yeah, they gotta be an island.
I suck at geography.
No way anybody else is living next to those creeps.
Is that where Highlander takes place?
Well, Highlander definitely took place all on sound stages. Whether their sound stages were in Scotland or not, I am not sure.
I thought it was a documentary in which the events occurred in real time.
Let's just say we're at number five. What's your number five?
All the way to number five. There's nothing else to talk about. So Lonnie Lipolodipofo and George Wells versus Hoss and Jimmy Jack Funk.
The main event.
The main
event. I really like that main event. That's going to be my number five, too. That is a strong main event.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Because I paused it and backed it up and spent like five extra minutes just so I could get it. Because it's my bit. It's my shtick. Mr. Lanny, Leaping Lanny Poffo's.
You got his
poem of the week.
You got his poem of the week?
Yeah, it's a really good one, too.
All right, let's hear it.
Tonight, it's Hoss and Jimmy Jack with Big George Wells and I. I hope this tag team matches fair and square. If Jimmy Hart gets in our way, we'll just pull down his pants again and show the world his fancy underwear.
You know, if there's one way to try and quell all the rumors going around that you might be a little bit light in the loafers, it's threatening to strip another man naked by a poem.
Ooh,
once you throw that out there, everybody's going to know. Like,
man.
Quit trying to talk about how Lanny Poffo is, you know, a closet case who's not willing to come out there and admit that he needs to live his life as a gay man. I hope at some point he found the peace that he so desperately needs.
Maybe he just couldn't do it
by
well.
By peace, I mean just Randall, like all the casual alive. Cock. I hope he got all the casual cock he clearly wants. He needed it, man. Ooh, this guy looks uptight.
When are we going to get all the sexual harassment suits coming out in wrestling like they are in Hollywood?
Yeah, I was really wondering about that the other day, and like,
there's just no one cares because that's what that entire industry is.
I think just like, I don't know, you really go back, just you look at shit just like the Fabulous Moolah, known for just like her entire career was based off just taking young street urchins and pimping them out to wrestling promoters and pretending like she was promoting female wrestling. Or you look at like Grizzly Smith, who like just known rapist of adolescent girls everywhere he went, and just like nobody cared and everybody kept working with him. And just like that shit was all just clearly unacceptable, even for society then, who would turn quite the blindest of blind eyes against any sort of sexual misconduct. But now that we're in like this whole new era, which I have a theory too. I think that these last couple of weeks, everybody's getting accused. Everybody's going down for their sexual. I think that what happened was Hugh Hefner had some sort of like witch's curse, like some sort of protective spell around the perverts of the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't worry, fellas, as long as I'm around,
I'm gonna protect all you weirdos.
Be as rapey and perverted as you want, and it's gonna be fine. I think as soon as he died, like that spell was broken, and now everybody's just like going to jail where they belong, or at least like losing their careers.
So
right
you're telling me in 2017. JBL wouldn't be able to put a pencil in Brian Lawler's butt.
A roundabout way is what I'm saying is that, like, everybody's going down. It's all happening. There still isn't any talk about... I just think people don't care enough about pro wrestling to to worry about people getting sexually assaulted in the pro wrestling game. I think this is going to be, like, the last bastion of hope for rapists and sexual assaulters. Like,
yeah.
If you want to just keep, like, uninhibited...
Live your criminal lifestyle of forcing yourself on people.
I've got an application to fill out.
I got a job for
you're
going
to
want to
join the pro wrestling game, because ain't nobody want to get their hands dirty trying to dig into this world.
Oh, no, no, no.
Get up there and shit on that glass table. I got to lay down here and jerk off.
Yeah, good stuff.
Hurry up, toots.
Hurry it up, baby.
So that's where I think the wrestling industry still is and is going to stay. Unless somebody gets balls up enough to, like, accuse Stephanie McMahon of sexual harassment or something.
Ooh.
That could break this whole thing open.
Oh, man, I'm interested.
That could break this whole thing open.
So, hey, back to the Funk Brothers and Lonnie
what
Poffo
were we talking about?
And George Wells.
George Wells' moves are right.
Yeah, I thought he was better than Spivey.
Kinda
talk
like
about it while I slam this beer.
Proto, like, version of Willie Mack, I felt like. Like, sort of a big sloppy guy who could still, like... do some jumping around and some like left, but he couldn't wrestle. Like
I thought he looked better than Spivey.
His movements were stuttered and awkward. His timing was wrong. People didn't really know how to like deal with him in the context of the match. His selling was just like sucked and erratic. But like he could move good. He had like some base athleticism there.
Can we talk about one of my favorite parts of the match?
I don't know. Are you ready to?
Yeah, I don't care anymore.
How many beers is that for you?
This is like the night or here.
I wish there was somebody here to cut you off. We should start doing this out in public.
No, we can do whatever we want.
Okay, perfect.
Wrestling. George Wells goes to the ropes. He's battling old Jimmy Jack Funk, right? Who I happen to love. Wasn't very familiar with his work, but after seeing him tonight.
I had forgotten that there was a fake Funk brother.
Yeah, like, and turns out he's the best one.
Yeah, until I watched this tonight. And
all his yelling that he was doing on the apron.
You know I'm a fan of yelling.
And there was no reason for it.
He was the loudest
yeller ever. He was just yelling. But anyways, George battles him back into his own corner and makes Jimmy Jack tag Hoss. And George Wells is like,
Hoss Funk.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a house of fire. I'm just gonna slam Hoss over the top rope, just kind of flip him onto his ass. And Hoss just like completely no-sells it. And he's like, nah, Junior, I'm going under that rope. I'm going to step over the second rope.
You ain't a real wrestler from the territory days.
Yeah, I ain't flipping.
Where's my brother Terry?
I ain't bumping for you. It's just not happening.
I'm confused without my brother Terry being out here.
Somebody told me that this man was my brother and he's not my brother.
So legend has it, old Jimmy Jack Funk kind of washed out of the WWF after he picked a fight with King Haku.
Oh.
King Haku nearly tore his eyeball out of his skull in the matter of this fight happening. And then they were like, we very narrowly stopped Haku from thumbing your eyeball out of your skull. So we're just going to fire you so that you don't show up again. And then that does happen to you, because probably you're going to lose an eyeball if you still work for this company.
Good looking out, you know?
Yeah.
I liked Heenan talking during the match. He said, I bet if you go back to the Funk House, there's probably 10 or 15 more like him there. In reference to Jimmy Jack Funk.
Double Cross Ranch is just lousy with Funk Brothers.
It's kind of like Hills Have Eyes.
It's a lot like Hills Have Eyes.
That little...
weird, lumpy rapist.
Yeah.
Lanny Poffo took a pretty serious ass beating for this match.
He did, man.
It was like a throwaway, like a primetime main event. Like, I didn't think we were going to get as violent as we did. They really laid into him.
Yeah. That great-looking brain buster.
Oh, man, that brain, it was kind of, I couldn't tell if it was botched or if it was just brutal. But
I don't know if it was going to be a brain buster. I don't know if it was going to be a suplex, but he tried to, like, protect him from taking it flush on that hard ramp.
Yeah,
they had one of my favorites.
Ended up looking like a murder.
We didn't talk about all
the ramp that goes flush with the ring apron.
Yes, the ramp that goes flush with the ring apron.
A lot of fun opportunities.
A la ECW. Yeah,
backdrop people over that rope and have them hit the ramp and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh, another one of my favorite parts of this match was when Lanny Poffo got thrown to the outside after just taking a serious ass beating, just just got wore out, had nothing left, just toss him to the outside like a lump of shit. The ref's doing his 10 count, and then Jimmy Hart just puts his megaphone into siren mode.
Yeah.
He's like, you're about to get counted out, brother.
Yeah.
He got that siren going. That was good stuff.
I believe he said to him, here comes the ambulance.
He's a real menace out there on the outside of that ring, that Jimmy Hart. He has a lot to all these matches.
It was definitely the night of Jimmy Hart.
For sure.
We probably should have given him one of our top five.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see
opportunity missed.
These Funk Brothers, you know, you got slipping down the backside, Hoss Funk out here. And he's tagging with Terry, and Terry's trying to drag him along. He's trying to keep up, and now we got him tagging with Jimmy Jack, and Jimmy Jack's just stealing the show, hooting and hollering like a belligerent hillbilly. Like, we got to get one of these matches where it's just Jimmy Jack and Terry. I got to tell you, that'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
Hope we get one of those soon. That'd be a lot of fun.
Fingers crossed.
I got my toes crossed. I got my fingers crossed. The double-crossed, motherfucker.
Double-crossed ranch.
Got everything double-crossed over here that we're going to see a Funk Brothers match soon.
I'd say this about wraps it up for us, but I feel like there's something else we need to get to.
I don't know, like what? If you're Hard Target again, we're going to watch it a third time?
Oh, man. Our special three count of best scenes in Hard Target.
Pause this again. I'll make snacks, and then we'll watch Hard Target.
Either way, once we hit pause play, we're coming right back to you.
Right back hot.
Right back with that three count.
Get up on your feet. Put your hands together. Sing along with three count. We'll party on forever.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
It's sometime in the future. The ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You can count the crossfire.
Get caught up in it.
year, brother. The superstars of wrestling ice cream bars, they are fantastic. Ain't that right, Frankie? Frankie, wait a minute. You supposed to share this. What? Give me some of that. They are fantastic. Yeah.
What's up?
Welcome back in to Baby Oil and Blow. It's time for the three count.
You sound like a little bit like Jake the Snake Roberts. Is that what's going on?
I don't know what it was, man. I was just going with it.
Okay.
It's fun to do voices.
No, that's off-putting. That's disturbing.
You go. You do one.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Nate, again. You're doing it.
Is it your Jim Cornette impersonation or your Jerry Seinfeld impersonation? Because it started
Jim Cornette!
Hey, everybody. What is the deal with airline
these
peanuts?
Motherfuckers? They're trying to kill the business, son of a bitch. Who are these marks? We're doing a three count.
Three count.
About something relatable, something everybody can throw their 2 cents in on. Agree, disagree, maybe. I don't know. Insult us, praise us, depending on whether our opinions are stupid or great.
Or eat a D.
Just fucking suck a dick, man.
Eat a D. I don't even care.
I think about this three count. Suck a dick.
Yeah.
We're doing best wrestling belts of the 1980s. You heard me right, Vince. I said belt.
Oh, belt holds up your trousers, pal.
Championship.
Championship titles.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic because this is something I can get real nerdy about, wrestling belts, the design of wrestling belts.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not talking like people talk about nerdy these days where like everything's fucking nerdy or like it's all cute to be a nerd and everybody's a nerd and it's like, oh, I'm such a nerd, you know. I went to, I don't know, fucking just like Comic-Con and schmoozed with celebrities and that makes me a nerd or whatever. No, I'm talking like 1980s pocket protector, like, you know, just fucking masking tape on glass geek shit.
Can I just a real quick service announcement? What? A little public service announcement.
Trying to talk about nerds here. You can just interrupt me and talk to the public.
That's well, it's about nerds.
Oh, I fucking hate nerds. Go
and
for it.
It's about white nerds. And as a member.
Getting more specific.
Of the white peoples.
Uh huh.
I'd just like to say, white guys, when you're going to wrestling shows.
Sure.
Leave your belts at home. Leave those championship belts.
Your replica title belts? Home.
Yes.
I look like the champion when I carry one around.
It's only cool when the brothers do it. I don't know why.
That's true.
But it's true.
We have met quite a few brothers.
Got a strap, we talk shit for a second, we're having a good time.
And then there's like a whole bling culture thing that goes around in like their neighborhoods.
Maybe.
It's the same thing like if you see like a white guy rolling around with like, I don't know, just like big rims or something. You're just like, give me a break, dude. And like a black guy does it. It's like, all right, those look pretty cool.
There you go. But Snoop Dogg was talking about it on that Flair 30 for 30. He's like, black culture loves.
Snoop Dogg was on ESPN?
Yeah. He's saying black culture loves Ric Flair because like they all want to be that. Just flashing the gold, telling people you're wearing $600 shoes, fur coats. You're living it. But that white guy that crawled out of his mom's basement and he spent like an hour picking out which replica belt he was bringing to the show that night.
Which ones look best with my Lee jeans is what he's wondering.
Which one of these replica titles is going to cover up that strong smell of cat piss?
I don't think any belt can do that.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to start praising that Weird Al song, White and Nerdy, when you went into this.
No.
I think you'd be like, oh man.
No.
I'll tell you, I really like that Weird Al song, White and Nerdy.
No.
And then you threw me a curveball and we're just doing this don't bring your wrestling belts to wrestling shows thing.
You know I don't like Weird Al after Bad Hair Day.
I support his entire catalog. Mm. So being a nerd, I feel like being a geek is just like about being obsessive about things. Like it's not about just like, oh, I like fucking like to watch movies or I like to go out and have a good time or whatever the hell people talk. It's just,
I love a good time.
You need to take something that nobody cares about and you need to obsess over it to the point where it ruins your social interactions with other people so that you can't talk about anything other than this thing that nobody cares about. So that's when you get wrestling belt geeks, and I'm one of these people. I'm like this about superhero costumes, too.
Yeah?
Like, if there's any little thing about a wrestling belt I don't like, I'm just like, oh, that would have been a really cool wrestling belt, except there's this one thing over here I don't like about it. Oh, it's ruined. or like a superhero. It's just like, oh, if you take this element from this one costume he had and mix it with these other elements from the second costume they had, like, it'd be the perfect costume, but they've just never done the perfect costume for him. What is that? What is the thing where I want to mix and match wrestling belts and superhero costumes to make the best version of it? And I just constantly, like, my brain just, like, dissolves and just, like, turns into a boiling mass of just rage if, like, I never see that perfect version of it that exists in my head.
We're closing in on almost 2 decades of our friendship, and this is news to me.
Oh, God.
Either you hide it well, or I'm just a terrible friend.
Don't get me started on wrestling belts.
Yeah, wow.
Let's get me started on wrestling belts. What's your number three favorite 80s pro wrestling?
I don't know if I want to tell you anymore,
championship
I'm afraid,
title.
I'm afraid of what you might say.
Belt trophy.
My favorite belt trophy.
It's a trophy you can wear around your waist. We're never going to get through this if you just keep dying.
I think I just had an aneurysm.
If you just keep dying.
Oh, my head
hurt
every time I coughed.
I'm not going to be able to get through this whole list if you're literally
just
dead.
It's on my phone. Just pick it up and read it, man. I'm going to drive myself to the hospital.
So that's number three.
I'm Matt. My number three. I'm just giving it.
I'd never do a voice that deep if I was doing an impression of you. It'd be a lot closer to my cornet.
Hey, I'm Matt. Hey, everybody. I picked out three belts.
Oh, God.
My Jim Cornette always goes into my Jim Hart. I can't do a Cornette. I'm leaving
to do a real
Cornette.
The joke at this point is that I don't even do the impression.
I don't care. I like it. So number three, the good old fashioned. I got to give it to it. It's classic. It's timeless.
Boring.
It's the NWA Heavyweight Championship title.
Are we talking big gold or domed globe?
No big gold. That's like going into WCW.
Huh, well, that started off as the NWA title. They gave it to Flair.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he was a very young man.
But you're talking the classic one that the bulk of
the
80s.
Talking bars. Okay. I'm talking bars.
The domed globe title.
The domed globe title.
It's
got the little countries on the side.
It's pretty small for a world title, if you ask me. I'm going to want to hear you defend this.
I know it is, but it's simple. And it's just, it's a recognizable title to me. I see that, and I'm like, NWA.
William James Corrigan, both are very emotionally invested in this title belt, so much so that... I think he just paid a couple $100,000 to own it.
I think so. But, again, growing up, my love, my allegiance was with the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't spend as much time with the WCW, TNA, NWA product.
Right.
So to me, that NWA classic small bars title is what sticks out to me the most. I can't even remember what they were rocking in early 90s WCW. I remember the big gold belt.
Well, yeah, they changed to big gold at the end of the 80s.
It was a lot of gold.
But then Rick came to the WWF and he brought that with him. So then they came up with the WCW heavyweight title, which was pretty generic looking.
Stupid
looking. Started calling Big Gold the like NWA International title or something. And then they did both those titles for a while until they finally like reunited them. I think that might have been a Sting versus Ric Flair match. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong.
The Stinger.
And then eventually it just came around to just Big Gold being Big around. Gold. But yeah, that is a unique title belt, that 10 pounds of gold, the NWA title. Nothing else looks like it.
That's what I mean. It's just... You see it, and you're like, oh, that's the NWA.
That's the one. That's the one that Harley Race would pick up over his mutton chops after he won his matches.
Yeah, he won a match. I'm the champion.
A lot of history there.
So that's me. Cool. I get a pick. I picked that one.
Cool. My first one is the NWA television title. Held
Which
by
one?
The likes of Arn Anderson, and, you know, the silver one
with
the
red
paint
leather
and the red strap.
Okay, all right.
This is a very standard title design. Same design they used for the NWA national belt, kind of. Same design they used for the 1984 WWF title. It's kind of got like an eagle at the top and then some banners in the middle explaining what the belt is, and some room for some clip art at the very bottom and on the very sides. This is my favorite execution of it because it stands out. You got that silver instead of the gold. You got that red paint. And a lot of times I think if you get too much paint on a belt, it looks a little chintzy, you know, like that. That modern
That's fair.
U.S. title right now, it's like mostly paint and That's less fair. Gold. It kind of just looks like a little toy and not really a prestigious title, prestigious trophy that you can wear around your waist. For some reason, it worked for me with this one, and I think it's because, I don't know, there's a good amount of silver, so it wasn't overwhelmed by red.
Man.
But like, it looks like a nice second place trophy, whereas like I think like there should be a if you're going to have a secondary title, I'm not super into secondary titles, but like it should look secondary from the world belt. You should be able to look at the two of them next to each other and be like, oh, this is the big prestigious one. And this is the one that like,
that's the up and comer.
Up and comer gets. Yeah, exactly. And with the red and the silver, which very complimentary, just aesthetically. Also, it stands out. If you throw like a big pile of 80s wrestling belts like together, you're gonna be able to like point out real quick, like, oh, that's the NWA TV title. I can see it right there. And I like how carny it is that they put the logos of like major CBS, networks on there, like
ABC.
Yeah, like your wrestling is never aired on any of these
that's
fucking networks.
That's what I thought.
But like you're just like going for false legitimacy there, like, and that's good. Just like fake it until you make it. NWA, like you'll get to that CBS and ABC someday. Probably not.
How come you didn't pick the Point Break big wave cresting television title that they had?
I mean, after
it was like right after that when it was like the blue and red on the black leather.
Oh, it was just like all paint. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that one looks really bad.
That one literally looked like something that like just a kid really made in his tree fort and then like showed his mom. I was like, Mom, what do you think? And like she had to like be like grimace and like hide that she was disappointed, but be like, oh yeah, I like it, you did a good job.
Which is the one
which
Scott
spent
Hall
your entire afternoon doing,
which is the one Scott Hall threw in the trash.
Well, that was the one after that, which was just became like the standard WCW TV title, which was literally just like a generic gold plate that said WCW television title on it, and then like, but the gold looked crinkled up a little bit.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was just the most generic, just like free of any decoration, dumb looking title ever.
What a great moment.
It was a travesty when, you know, at one point they were rocking this silver and red, gorgeous looking, good second place title. It was nice.
I got a second belt.
Arn looked great with it. What's your second one?
You kind of played into it. Almost, but you were a year off. I'm going with the 85 Hogan.
Okay. 85 Hogan.
85
Hogan. That's the one that's kind of like symmetrical. It's got a lump on the top and a lump on the bottom.
I do believe it's, it's kind of
came after the green one he won from the Iron Sheik.
The green monster, right.
Okay, that one looked pretty bad.
Which they tossed out. And I think the first incarnation was an 84, but the 85 either
84,
way.
84, yeah. No, that's right.
84 is when
the green
they first
monster
changed it.
To the one that looked like the TV title. That was in 84.
Yeah.
That was from 84 to 85. I think this one you're talking about is
the
86.
No.
85, 86.
85, 85, 86. They put a little more black in the banners,
sure.
The world title part to make it pop some.
Yeah, you got to have that contrast of colors so
it shows
good.
Yeah,
up
you don't want to do too much gold because
no,
then you
just
got just a gold
like a,
blob.
Yeah, big gold
you don't
blob
know what you're
on
looking
like
at.
That WCW TV title. It's just a big gold blob.
But I liked it because I thought it was a, you know, I kicked around putting on the old, you know, Winged Eagle
because
it's a classic title. It's a classic title, but I thought this title was a really good mix of like of the simplicity of the NWA titles with the little flair, the wings, the eagle, it's there, and some banners, and you're having a nice time. But I don't know, it's just perfect, delicate balance to me. It made sense.
Hulk Hogan's holding this title. You can't do anything too gaudy because everything about that man is
gaudy.
So like, yeah, you
can make the belt a little simpler,
a little grounding. Yeah. Like, he's just gonna look like a ridiculous clown if you put him out there with any sort of like
belt that spins,
belt that's got any sort of like, you know, dangly bits on it or
spins.
Just like spinny, flary. Who's its and what's its?
Abu Dhu.
Abu Dhu. My number two title. is the 1987 Andre the Giant WWF World Heavyweight title. Mm-hmm. This is a great looking title. This is a huge fucking title. They debuted it in the lead up to WrestleMania 3. Bobby Heenan was saying if Andre is going to win the belt, he's got to have a giant sized title. So it was a nice little, there's elements of other belts. It had that circular globe with the two eagles flying off both sides of it that you'd see in a lot of the tag team belts of the era, the world class tag belt, the AWA tag belt. They both had this, but those were smaller secondary titles where this was on a much like larger front plate that had some, had a big lumpy top, and then it came out to a squarey bottom that was a little bit bigger, and there's a lot of banners on it, big extravagant banners. So it was a giant title for Andre the Giant. It was very big. And then you got the side plates had those world flags from around all the lands and
like the
Epcot
TNA
Center
title. Yeah,
and the Epcot
nice.
Center flags were, it's a nice throwback thing to make it feel like this is sort of just like a legit old school, like real.
I've
like,
wrestled everywhere.
Everybody around the world, things going on, but
I beat the best of the best.
Yeah, going back to the secondary titles, I'm going to say like one of my favorite titles of all time is the Intercontinental title, WWF Intercontinental title. Just classic, timeless. They're still using it because nothing looks better, but the problem with that belt was that, like, so many of the world belts they've used with it, like, you could never tell which one was supposed to be the main belt because that one looked so good. Like, the Winged Eagle, it was great, but it wasn't big enough to be like, oh, this is the main one. Like, kind of the Intercontinental belt looked better than it. And, like, also the design of that one was a little bit different. So, like, they didn't look good as a set. This 87 Andre one looked like a great set with the classic Intercontinental belt, but you could tell, like, this one's a little bit bigger. This one's a little bit more tricked out. So this is the main one.
This is the real deal.
So I feel like if that would have stuck around, if they would have just gave it to Hogan after that, like, those two could have really just been like a pair or like look like a good set. Like, you win this one, and then if you're good enough, you win this one. And that makes sense in my obsessive pro wrestling belt brain, where like if you're an organization, all your belts should kind of look the same. They should have a similar theme, but as you get a better and better belt, they should be bigger and bigger and look more intricate.
It shows to the casual viewer, I have moved up the ladder.
Whereas, God, I love that Winged Eagle. But, I was always kind of just an Intercontinental belt fan back when those were the set they had going on. I was kind of just like, I think I'd rather have the IC belt.
That's fair.
To the point where, like, guys who did, like, the Rick Rude and Ricky Steamboat, like, career path, where they got to that IC level in WWF, and then they jumped ship and then got to do Big Gold in WCW. Yeah. I was like, well, fashion-wise, those guys had the best careers. Yeah. That Big Gold is timeless, and that IC belt, ooh, nothing more classic, nothing better. These guys were well-dressed throughout their entire championship career.
And you brought me to my number one, sir.
I was trying to do a seamless little segue there, and it worked for me. Hot
good
damn,
old
hot
fashioned white leather IC strap. Like you said, it was the trendsetter, man. Like everybody, when they started selling those shitty foam belt championships, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You could get that white one. And it was just like, man, you got that white strap.
You like that white
strap?
That's
the real deal. It was great. Everybody held it.
It's good
everybody
with any
colored
important. Strap. It's just a very simple, very classy.
Yeah, but the white, man. Like,
the
white
pops.
Was,
the white pops. I'm not poo-pooing the white.
That's what we're talking about. Like, that's what you think. If I'm telling you, like, ooh, late 80s, early 90s, IC strap, you're thinking white leather, man.
I'm thinking honky-tonk man with the black leather. But you can go
man.
Shawn Michaels with the white leather. That's fine.
I'm a honky-tonk man.
I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm bad.
But then WWF killed their own secondary title, and they made it an oval monster.
There were so many dark years there where that boring, boring oval, I could
you
talk about how much I dislike that oval.
You dorks on the internet.
Title
wanna,
Attitude Era.
Yeah, you want to complain about the IC title not being defended at WrestleManias? Blame the oval belt.
Yeah, why would you care about what that match is getting booked on the card when you just look at it and you're like, why do we even have that thing laying around? Somebody should throw that in a garbage can so Hacksaw Jim Duggan could find it.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes did one good thing, and that was bring back the white classic strap.
No better move.
And But it'll never be the same.
Now they just need to it'll get rid of those Super Bowl ring world titles they have and just make the Intercontinental title the world title.
That's fair.
Everyone likes it the best. It looks the best. It's the classiest thing.
Is it the best?
Just make it the best because it is the best.
Yeah, that's our motto here at Baby Blowing Oil.
And like big gold, too. That WCW big title gold. That became the world title after the WWF buyout.
Big gold.
It's just, I think I like that one because it's, whereas the IC title, great design, just like very classic. That one kind of looks like it wasn't designed. It just looks like something that's like been around since the beginning of history. Hmm. Just like cavemen were fighting over it because it's something they like dug out of the ground.
It was so shiny.
And it's so big and it's so shiny.
Oh, oh.
I think the bigger the better as far as world title belts go. Like if you want your...
It's a fair assessment.
You want your wrestling company to like look like the best, then your world title should be bigger than everybody else's world title.
I want that title coming up to his nipples, damn it.
Yeah, it should be all gold. It should be huge. The more like, you know, paint or like open area on it you got that's not gold, like, oh, the less expensive that thing looks. Mm-hmm. So don't really even fucking bother me with it, which is why my number one is the Mid-South North American heavyweight title held by the likes of Magnum TA, Ted DiBiase.
Mm-hmm.
This thing was so goddamn big that it was just a joke. I think basically probably it was so impossible to carry around that they had to get rid of it. Like, I think that's why it didn't last long.
What are we supposed to do with this?
And you put that thing around your waist, it just literally looked like your whole torso was made out of gold.
It was a rib, brother.
Yeah, the thing about this thing was it had the middle plate there, and it was huge. It was bigger than the big gold, that NWA WCW title by itself. But then it had two side plates that were just about as big as the middle plate. So, like, it was.
Yeah, you don't want to skimp.
No, it was literally just wrapping around your entire body. It was all gold. And, you know, it was pretty cool. Like, those side plates had a. Dudes on them that were holding up tinier belts, so you had belts on belts.
That's pretty cool.
And that dude that was holding up the belts also just had like big, flowing, beautiful, feathered 80s hair. So
yeah,
that was
how
really
else
cool.
is his hair going to look?
That was really cool.
Come on.
Titles, they had like a nice good two-tone to it. Like, that gives it some three-dimensional, like, you know, the light plays off of it good. It looks good. Yeah. Like, all gold, just like no weird paint or whatever. Just like all gold, huge gold, very intricate. Looks like a real prize that, like, some dwarf took like a century to craft down in the basement of a mountain or something.
Mordor.
Just ridiculous and over the top. There's never been a more over the top title belt. And if you want to give me a main belt in your company, give me something that's just people shake their head at. Like, God damn, what were you thinking?
Plus, as we established last week, we love over the top in any fashion.
You got to go over the top.
Over the top!
Yeah, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
Whether it's arm wrestling, whether it's designing fashionable championship trophies that can be worn around your waist, right over that top.
Over your top.
Is that it? Did we do all of them?
I think so. It was hard for me to pick three.
It was hard for me, too. I want to keep going. I didn't do any tag titles, I don't think.
Nope.
That's just a coincidence. I had some ones I was going to throw in there. So we're just going to do that again sometime.
We didn't even talk about that AWA Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, the one that was made in the jail? To be continued. They had some inmates make that.
Wisconsin.
We'll do our favorite tag titles sometime soon.
Oh,
that's
going to
be another. It's going to be a whole other thing. We can stretch this whole thing out because we've got
a lot more
episodes of pro wrestling talk coming up.
Because we'll have things we want to talk about. We don't care about you. We don't care about you.
He's dead like pro wrestlers are dead.
Oh, Jesus.
Childhood memories.
And people, he wasn't really a sniper in World War II. That's not true.
Yeah, but I heard that he removed his bottom rib so he could suck his own dick.
Yeah, who
hasn't?
That's
probably true.
Who hasn't?
Oh, man. Mr. Rogers, what a pervert.
Aside from everything that's off topic, what's on topic for next week?
For next week?
Yeah.
Okay, I made an executive decision here. You're going to want to be on board with this. You're going to want to know what we're doing. We're going back down south, like usual, to watch some of that Jim Crockett Promotions, WCW. But we are skipping.
We're skipping a year?
We're skipping the November 30th, 1985 episode. Okay,
all right.
Because it's mostly just Starrcade replays and recap.
We already seen it all.
A couple of matches from Starrcade. And
way to look ahead.
We're not going to do that shit. So we're skipping ahead to December 7th.
Holy hell, it's 1985.
December. We're going to do that one. We're going to jump ahead a little bit more and get out of the wake of Starrcade.
Maybe set up some programs,
Hopefully, we're going
to
move.
See what our new champions have to say.
We're almost to 1986. What does the future hold for us?
What a glorious year.
It's going to be good.
If you want to know what's up, you check it out next week right here on Baby Oil and Blow.